This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app.
Joining us today is Gomeroi descendant Professor Heidi Norman, a leading researcher in the field of Australian Aboriginal political history and convener of the Indigenous Land and Justice Research Group at the University of Technology in Sydney. Heidi, thanks for joining us on Joy Drive.
Hi, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about truth-telling and truth-telling about our history. It's one of the key parts of the Uluru Statement from the Heart. It's likely to be one of the more difficult parts of it, isn't it?
I think so. That's what I've said in a recent article that was published on the Conversation platform. And the reason I was making the point that it's going to be difficult is that we still have Australia generally has a really difficult relationship with its past. And it still strikes me as peculiar, and that's one of the reasons we've been doing a little bit of research on this topic, because Aboriginal history as a, in sort of scare quotes, as a field of inquiry within universities, and if you think about the number of books that have now been published, has really been underway for the last 50 years. So, from this silence, Great Australian Silence, that was identified from the late 1960s, there really has been a lot of work. So this, the other side of the story where you, in most of the history textbooks, that has largely been filled out. That part of the story is not silent anymore. It's, of course, there's still much more work to be done, but it is filled out. And one of the things that has happened in the process of that history coming to be less silent is that there was a real backlash to that. And so in the late 1990s and through to the years, the 2000s, there was what was known as the history wars. And these competing accounts of Australia really went to war with one another. So there were negative account of Australian history versus a positive, the black armband view versus the white blindfold.
Do you think those history wars are starting to settle, or do we still see them rearing their ugly head?
I think it was really the Howard government. It was elected in 1996. And it was really the Howard government who said, we have a much more positive history than these new histories are allowing. So it was really a competition over like sunny narratives or dark, a history that casts dark shadows. And I think when John Howard as Prime Minister was not re-elected and then Kevin Rudd came in and made that apology to the stolen generations, I think there was a real sense of relief that bitter sort of period felt like it was resolved. But I think the referendum and certainly the Uluru dialogues, where every one of those dialogues that took place around the country, the issue of truth-telling was raised. And it just points to the fact that there's still a lot more work to be done.
Let's talk about some of the research that you did. It suggests that non-Indigenous Australians are still interested in truth-telling but are nervous about it. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, we just did a pilot project that was we distributed a survey. And just before I speak about what we found in that small survey, of course, truth-telling is something that has been around for quite a few decades, and it's generally like a transitional justice mechanism. So it's generally a human rights and a transitional justice mechanism. So you think about in South Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, to an extent, reconciliation in Australia, but in a very different way in East Timor. So these sort of mechanisms in Rwanda, so countries around the world who have had difficult histories have quite often adopt truth-telling processes to resolve their difficult history. And you know, sometimes that's involved the amnesty of participants, so where people really, family wanted to know what happened to their missing family member. It meant that the perpetrators were freed from any conviction. So it was a mechanism, I guess, for peace building and for transition. So, and I think that's what we haven't had in Australia. And what our survey showed is that respondents said they want to be involved in truth-telling, and they see truth-telling as something that can be engaged in through dialogue or through conversation with Aboriginal people, with Indigenous peoples, but they don't know how to go about it, and they feel very nervous about it.
What are they nervous about?
I think that they might cause offence, that they might be offended, that they might feel guilty, or that they might say the wrong thing, or they don't know how to go about engaging in truth-telling processes.
So is it...
There's not clear about what, you know, in scare quotes again, what this truth-telling, you know, is, what it will look like, what it will involve you, you know, what it will require you to do.
So it's essentially, like you said, it's the truth-telling process and making that a safe process to have a conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, the Uluru Statement from the Heart calls for a Makarrata Commission. Could you tell us a little bit about what that is and how it might work when it comes to truth-telling?
You're asking me to think back what I wrote in that article now. It was last week. And just from memory, what is proposed, and this is still has many more time to play out and be confirmed, so please don't take my word for it, but that the Makarrata Commission will oversee possibly a truth-telling process. And your listeners in Victoria, in Melbourne, will already know that there is a truth-telling process underway. In Queensland, there is something similar that is being proposed. So those mechanisms will be... The commission will provide a mechanism for overseeing those processes. But in Australia, we would say that truth-telling is, you know, is a range of activities that are enormously diverse. So I think of, if I were personally to sort of explain a truth-telling, provide a truth-telling example, it would be in New South Wales, the Myall Creek Massacre Memorial. And one of the reasons that strikes me as really truth power that really, you know, hits you in the chest is that it's not just that memorial was put together between the ancestors of those Aboriginal boy who survived and also the survivors of the perpetrators of that massacre. And these are in small country towns. And it's quite a brave thing, I think, for non-Aboriginal people to put their hand up and say, you know, these are our ancestors that committed these atrocities. And yes, we own them. Yes, it's our family story. And, you know, that is who we are, to sort of own the past. I think that there's one example that really strikes me as a process of truth-telling. And there are many more as well, of course.
Heidi, really great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive today.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Thank you. That's Professor Heidi Norman, leading researcher in the field of Australian Aboriginal political history and convener of the Indigenous Land and Justice Research Group at the University of Technology in Sydney.
This is Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.